WGH Radio.
Good morning, friends. This is Pastor and Bible Teacher Craig Heilman, welcoming you to another edition of Study His Word Radio. Man, it's beautiful out there today. I'm telling you, this weekend has been nice. And Adam kind of alluded to it in the weather report there, but yeah, it was on Wednesday we're going, another snow? When is this snow going to be done? And then here it is, like feeling like summer. So anyhow, welcome this morning. I'm glad you are listening. And this morning I'm just going to have a conversation with a friend. And I don't mean a Facebook friend. I mean a friend in every sense of the word. I've got Barry here this morning, Barry Hensley. He's been on my show before. And I've known Barry for, it's not really been that long. I met Barry for the first time 2.5 years ago. It was in a work situation. And found out very early on that he was a brother in Christ. But over that period, he's come to be a very, very good friend. And, you know, I was thinking about this last night, knowing that I was going to have him here on the radio, and I was just kind of thinking about this, and I was thinking, you know, that word friend has really, the meaning of it has really been downplayed or watered down with Facebook. We get 500 acquaintances on Facebook, but yet we call them friends. But you know, a friend is someone that you can count on for in tough times. A friend is someone who likes you despite your faults. And a friend is someone that you can like despite their faults. So anyhow, it's an honor and a privilege to consider him a friend and to have him here this morning. So without wasting any more time, I want to welcome my brother from a different mother, Barry Hensley.
Good morning, Pastor. I feel the same way about you. You and I have talked many, many times that God's plan is always perfect and how he brings people together and puts people in other people's lives for a purpose. And if there one is a believer and one is not a believer, it's the opportunity for the believer to bring the friend and all meaning of that word into the saving grace of Jesus Christ and to show the love and compassion and the concern for one's salvation just by the friendship that you build. So you're a blessing, always been a blessing ever since we first started working together in that situation. And I know that it'll just continue to grow because there's no reason for it not to, especially being in service for the Lord together.
Amen.
Yeah, amen to that.
Amen. Thank you. So, you're here this morning. I invited you on. And actually, you know, I don't have to invite you. You're welcome here anytime.
Well, thank you.
But I wanted to talk about, just kind of have a conversation about a problem in the church today. And actually, it's a problem and it's a challenge. The problem, you know, is defining the issue, and the challenge is for the church what to do about it. So I was reading a survey about a month ago, and the listeners, if you were listening, I don't know, it was 3-4 weeks ago. I read the results of a survey, and the survey said that Bible readership is down, and 39% of people surveyed said that they read their Bible outside of church. And the interesting thing about that was to be considered a person who reads your Bible outside of church, you only had to read it or consult it 4 times in a year, which I thought was a very low standard. But we'll take their number. That's their survey. So 39% of the population that they surveyed read their Bible outside of church. However, the survey also said that 50% of the people surveyed felt that the Bible has everything you need to know to handle life.
I agree, it does.
It does. But it's amazing to me that, okay, so 50% of the people surveyed said the Bible, it has everything you need to know, but yet only 39% of them read their Bible. It's like you know something is good, but you don't do it, which I realize in life, there's a lot of things like that. Yep. We know it's good to eat fruits and vegetables, but that doesn't mean we do it.
Yep.
we know it's good to drive the speed limit and wear your seatbelt, but sometimes we don't do it. So I wanted to talk about this. First of all, what's been your experience as far as the amount of really Bible illiteracy, lack of Bible knowledge, lack of Bible reading in the churches where you've been?
When a new believer or somebody that has come to the church and has gotten saved, they start asking questions about, okay, so where do I go from here? And the first, it seems to be the first and one of the most important ones, they said, well, you need to start reading your Bible. And then that's where the ball is usually dropped. Because they go, okay, I will. And then they'll come back and they'll go, I didn't understand a lick of what that thing told me, which is normal. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will reveal it to folks. It just all depends on how God has got you wired and how he's working with you on that. But the discipleship of a new believer, even folks that have been believers for a long time, they still need to disciple too as they become a discipler. The realistic expectations need to be shown and set from the very beginning. What our pastor has always told us is said that you can dive right in, but if you're not praying before that, or if you don't get with somebody who understands the scriptures and teaches you how to understand what God's word is telling you, then the ball gets dropped pretty quick. Because if you don't understand something, unless you've got that mechanism in you that says, well, I'm going to figure this out no matter what, and those folks are few and far between, if they're not taken underneath their wing on a consistent basis, then that's where things fall apart. Because they'll tell you, yeah, go just read your Bible. Okay, where am I supposed to start?
Exactly. There's 66 books in the Bible.
Yes.
And, you know, it's a natural tendency if you don't really know anything about where's a good place for me to start. You're going to pick it up and you're going to open it and you're either going to start in Genesis, because that's the beginning of the book,
mm-hmm.
or you're going to flip ahead to the New Testament because you think maybe that's where I should be, so you're going to start reading in Matthew. And I think that's one of the biggest problems, like you say, when we get a new believer into the church, and you know, after we're all celebrated that he's a new believer and that, then we just kind of turn him loose to figure it out on his own.
Yeah. The follow-up is really one of the most important things that you need to do and to have an action with, but not overwhelm. Because most folks they're excited, but they're scared because this is a new avenue. They're in uncharted waters and with no rudder yet. Mm-hmm. So the rudder is God's word. The rudder is the foundation of his newfound faith, but somebody has to teach him how to steer.
Right.
And that Jesus be the one to steer that and teaching them what it means to pray and to learn how to develop a relationship with Christ. So they get more interested in, okay, what's in this book? I was always taught, is it good to read a whole chapter? Well, sure, if the Holy Spirit's telling you and leading you to do so, but sometimes it's just the first few verses of wherever you're at to ponder on, you know, to try to understand that so you get the idea of where God is taking you. I'll go ahead.
No, I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I wanted to make a point that I think you said it excellently there, and that is when we turn someone loose and, you know, here's your Bible, and the thought is, okay, I got to read it.
Yeah.
But like you said, you may sit down to read a chapter, but only make it a few verses, and then there's a point that you want to ponder.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the key, is it's not so much read your Bible every day, but it's actually study your Bible every
sure.
day. Whether it's a chapter, or it's six verses, or it's I've read two verses and wait a minute, there was really something important there, I need to ponder on that. That's what's important, is that when you read that you gain something from it.
Oh, amen. Amen. There is no set time from how you should get through God's Word. There's things out here, how to get through the Bible in a year, and how to do these things in an X amount of time. So now it becomes an accomplishment and a race sometimes to get through it. And you'll lose most of the content just because you're blowing through it to get the end result, end goal. That's kind of heartbreaking a little bit, because the accomplishment is there, but if there's no meat behind it and your life isn't benefiting from it because you don't know how to implement that into your life, then there's really no purpose.
Right.
But when you are bringing somebody along in the discipleship role, and just saying, well, let's take it slow so you can read it, and once you start to understand it, then that's where our encouragement comes and say, now this is how you implement this into your life. Some of it can go very easy. I believe that with all my heart, because sometimes the Holy Spirit opens up the door to where He'll allow things into your life to allow you to implement what you've learned, so there's proof in the pudding. And then also let them know that some of these things are going to be a little bit difficult. It's going to sting, but it's a growing part, and that you can get through it, because right here God's Word says you're going to encounter this, but with your steadfastness and your perseverance through believing what God's Word telling you about this issue, you'll get through it. We learn at different stages. Some folks learn quickly, some don't. I don't. It takes me a while for things. So I take it upon faith that God's going to reveal it to me. He is definitely bringing me through this. I understand it to a point, but He's going to reveal it even more so I can maybe be of help to somebody else in the situation that's going through what I've gone through. You and I have talked while we were working together about the same scenarios, and our steadfastness came because we knew that God's Word is true, and we will implement what we've taught, you know, what His Word taught us. We're going to be okay.
Right. You know, I sometimes I sometimes have to rein my feelings in, because I know that everybody's different. Mm-hmm. Everybody learns at a different rate. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a different level of excitement. Everybody has a different level of curiosity. And that's why I say I have to sometimes rein myself in, because when I started teaching Sunday school and moving along and started preaching, you know, having been involved in the church, you know, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, I really would get frustrated with the lack of biblical knowledge that people in the church had who'd been in the church longer than I had. Mm-hmm. But I have to remember, you know, everybody's not like me. When I first got saved, I had an insatiable hunger to learn that word, to read that word, to study that word, for God's Word. I wanted to know everything that was possibly in that Bible. But that's just the way I'm made up. You know, I've always been a very intellectual person, mm-hmm. Sometimes to my detriment, okay? So when I got saved, I set out on a course, you know, because I had to read it and I had to understand it. And, you know, going back and doing the math and that, I literally have spent thousands of hours mm-hmm. studying the Bible, you know. When I first got saved, I had been in a divorce situation, so I was single, and I would have my kids half the time, and the other time I wouldn't have my kids. So on those days when I didn't have my kids, I'd get home from work and have dinner, and by 7 o'clock I'd be down, sitting down with my Bible, mm-hmm. and I'd be studying it till 11 o'clock at night. And then I would be up at 5 in the morning, and not to get, you know, too much information, but 5 o'clock in the morning, I'd a hot bath, and I would sit in a hot bath and soak and read my Bible for another 45 minutes mm-hmm. before I got my day started. Now, when I had my kids, I didn't have as much time, but I made sure I studied it. So, you know, I feel blessed by God that I had such a desire to know the Word. And like I say, I used to get frustrated with people who, again, longtime Christians, didn't seem like they know very much. And I'd say, you know, I'd think to myself, what is wrong with these people that they don't have a hunger to learn? But I realized that the hunger to learn is going to be different with other people.
Sure.
So now, having said all of that, is there anything you think that we can do to encourage that hunger to learn?
Sure, sure. Your hunger is like thousands of other people, okay? God wired you that way because you're going to reach a certain group of folks that gravitate towards that on how you made it a priority and that how God's Word was able to be absorbed by you and teach it. Okay, there's a lot of folks are not like that, so they have to be led. Your word encouragement is definitely always a must, the right type of encouragement. But I feel today that it's the environment that we have allowed in the church setting and also outside the church setting, the environment that was, well, it's okay, you can look it up when you get a chance, or, well, are you in trouble? You're in crisis. You need to start reading your Bible, and then when things kind of even out, you're good. You don't have to read that. There's no consistency built into the encouragement sometimes. So it's always a last ditch effort, because here comes the, as long as you're doing okay, you're fine. You're in God's grace and mercy. But then when stuff starts falling apart, well, you better get back into your Word. That's the comfort is there. The reassurance is definitely there. But this is supposed to be a lifestyle for us to follow, to lead by example every day. Sometimes each day is easier. Some days not so easy. But it's every day can be an example of what we're reading and what we're living. So within the church, no matter the size of it, big or small, it's the environment that the church is producing. Is it from the pulpit? You better be in your Word. You better, if you don't know your Word, you know, nothing's going to happen. Or is it that, you know, our pastor talks a lot about, now in my experience, he always uses those words, in my experience, when I've been meditating on God's Word, somewhere down along the line, pretty soon, there's going to be a situation to where I'm going to be able to help because of what I read. The reassurance of the Holy Spirit has given me the ability to help these folks. You know, I understand what you're going through. I was just in the book of such and such, and I read this, and it made total sense. So let me pass this on to you. I'm going to encourage you to read this part. You know, it's the environment that we create about being in God's Word.
And it's not always immediate payoff. In other words, what I read today may make sense, but what I read today, 2 months from now, a situation might arise where,
yes,
aha, I remember reading about that. That's where the payoff comes.
I agree 100%. And that starts that little kindling of a fire that people start to go, this is pretty neat. I can be of help to someone with no patting ourselves on the back. Oh my gosh, the Lord's going to use me. I really need to understand what's in His book so I can be of help, because somebody came to me at one time and was of help that kindled my fire, that brought the kindling to start that fire so it could be stoked. Is that being taught in any house of worship today? Everybody feels that they're afraid to tell somebody that they don't understand it, because then they go, well, I must be the dullest crayon in the box. You have to start. That's the key. You have to start.
Yeah. Now, that brings up a good point. And I know lots of times people, they're looking at their Bible and they just don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, without getting into discussions about, you know, differences in, you know, texts that were used for translation and all that kind of stuff. What do you recommend for a new believer? Because, you know, one of the biggest things you hear out there is, you know, King James is so hard to understand because it's written in a language that we don't talk today. Mm-hmm. And I have my own personal feelings about, you know, which translation I use. And but I don't really necessarily want to get into that so much as what do you recommend to somebody who's maybe struggling or who's brand new and wants to know what they should read?
Bible says, seek ye wise counsel. Get with somebody that you know that you can trust, that has no judgment at all as far as, well, you should know this, you're a Christian. Or, where's the fire at, man? You should have that burning in your soul to grab that book. Again, we're still in the flesh. Satan whispers in our ear every day, you don't need that. You're not going to be able to stun that. It makes no sense. You ain't going to be able to understand it. You might as well just go ahead and use it as a paperweight. Get it out when you need it. Put it away. Let folks know that these times are going to come. And that when those times come, know where it's coming from is the evil one whispering in your ear that you don't. Get with somebody that you know you can trust that will take their time with you. You know, ask. That's the biggest thing. Everybody is so afraid to ask because society has built us that we need to be so self-sufficient that we don't need help from anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We need help every day, Brother Craig. I need help from you as far as your prayers of encouragement and also prayers of protection, like we should be praying for one another. But get with someone. And I can't stress that enough because somebody did that for me. They helped. They didn't say, you should be at this point right now. It's always take it one step at a time, but pray first before you grab your Bible. Lord, reveal to me what you want me to reveal, what you want to reveal. On you know how I'm built because you built me, on what I can understand that's going to benefit me in the kingdom of God.
You know, I can't emphasize enough what you said there about getting with somebody. Mm-hmm. You had someone that kind of took you under their wing. Mm-hmm. I had someone that kind of took me under his wing. Well, when I was a new believer, he was, you know, I was 38, 39 years old. He was in his 50s. He had been in the church for 30 years. He had, you know, he had taught Sunday school. He had been an elder. You know, he'd been a deacon. He had started several ministries. He was just an all-around, you know, really involved, really, really godly individual. And, you know, he saw something in me. And he took me under his wing.
Amen.
And discipled him. And I really think there's two aspects of this. One, as you were saying, you know, if you know when you're new and or you're having trouble, you know, seek out wise counsel.
Yes.
Seek somebody out.
Yes, sir.
And the flip side of that, for those of you who are already in the church and are, you know, have been in their church for a while, seek out a new believer. Seek out someone you can take under your wing and disciple. Seek out somebody that you can walk with side by side.
Yes.
And help them to understand and encourage them. Because it's a two-way street. One, we need to seek out those that can help us. And two, we need to be aware of those around us who need some encouragement, who needs, you know, someone to walk with them by their side.
It was really neat to see earlier in our church's beginning when people would do that. Hey, how would you like to come over and have a cup of coffee and let's dive into God's Word? Now, it didn't happen a whole lot, but it was exciting because what it did for me is, you want me? The dullest crayon in the box. You want to study God's Word with me? Well, sure. Why not? Why not? We'll learn something together. It was the attitude that was brought. We'll learn something together. You may even be able to teach me something that God reveals to you, and vice versa. But the point of it is the fellowship of that when you're introducing somebody into learning how to study God's Word. You're teaching me. Pastor Glenn Monis is teaching me. Pastor has given me so much to learn. And he said, you just gotta learn how to take it in. And I know that probably doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But you don't learn unless you do it.
Right.
Unless you got to stumble. You got to fall. And blessed are the ones that, man, well, that come pretty easy. Well, amen, because that's how you're wired. I'm not. Okay, here's the stumbling block. Go ahead and help me.
And the flip side of that is, you know, when you take somebody under your wing or you take someone and you disciple them, it keeps you sharp.
Amen.
It exercises what you've previously studied or read. It makes you stay sharp.
Yes.
So what would you say to an individual that maybe is a new believer? Maybe they've been a believer for many years, but, you know, I've got teenagers and we've got sports that where they're playing three different sports. My two kids are, and, you know, I sometimes work overtime on my job, and, you know, we got the grass we got to cut, and, you know, in 2 weeks we're going on vacation. I just don't have time to read my Bible.
You just described my life. Being back in the lawn care industry, and our youngest, that we only have one at home, and our youngest, and he kicks for the football team, is on the bowling team, now
soccer
travels,
team.
His soccer team, and I have dropped the ball, and I'm just being honest with you, of not carving out time for us to have a family devotion, and shame on me, I'm just bearing my soul here, shame on me, because then that becomes a trend. And if I don't get it under control, it will be a lifestyle through the summer season that is hard to recover fall when things slow down. So it has to be a conscious effort on the leader of the household, the spiritual leader of the household, which is me, to make those changes. Now it'll be a bump in the road because we're used to going at a pace, and now we have to carve out time. I'm not going to say have to. Should desire to cut out some time. To do that, it's a lifestyle that has to be implemented. It really does. Spiritual leaders of the household need to do that, should want to do it, and they benefit from it. The family will benefit from it.
It's sort of like organizing priorities.
Amen. I'm terrible at it.
Yeah, and well, and you know, you can tell sometimes what a priority is for a person if that's what that they always do that.
Yep.
If you have time to do X during the day every day, then it's a priority for you.
Yes.
And not to pick on television, but if you sit down in front of the television every night for a couple of hours, that's become your number one priority. Mm-hmm. Everything else takes second fiddle to that. If your priority is to lose weight and you are committed to it, then you will make sure that every day your diet plan sticks to a plan that will enable you to lose weight. If your priority is physical exercise of a certain sort, then you will go out and run every day. Mm-hmm. Or you will be at the gym every day lifting weights.
Yeah.
So we have to make our Bible study a priority in our life. And, you know, I'm just as guilty as you. You know, there have been times in my life, I'm ashamed to say, but I'm also willing to be honest, where when life gets busy, I may have gone 2 or 3 weeks and never cracked open my Bible outside of being in church. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's embarrassing for me to say, but it's the truth. You know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say I read my Bible every day and I've read it every day since I was, you know, got saved, because I haven't.
Gotcha.
I've gone through periods where that's all I did was study my Bible. And I've gone through periods where, like I said, it 2 or 3 weeks went by. So, you know, I would say to somebody who's struggling to find the time, just step back. Step back for a minute and just, you know, evaluate. Well, is there Is there a block of time, 30 minutes in the morning, that I can set aside for that?
Yeah.
Is there a block of time, 30 minutes in the evening, when everyone's settling down towards bed, where I can devote to that?
Yep, there's time. Yes, sir.
But it's a matter of, we have to recognize the importance of it. Hey, 50% of the people said, I believe the Bible has everything you need to know for life. We need to put that into a priority.
Yeah. It's always preparing. My dad, and the first time I ever heard this statement was when my mom was diagnosed with cancer, and her life was not, she wasn't going to make it. And he came into the bedroom and he goes, I'm just telling you. And my dad wasn't a spiritual man. He goes, you need to prepare for the worst. Hope for the best, but expect the worst. But what he was telling me, not that my mom was going to pass, what he was telling me is that prep, through his way of saying it, you got to prepare. So when you prepare that time for reading your Bible, if it's in the morning, put it right there on the kitchen table, wherever you sit down before you go anywhere, and it's a reminder there. Now it's the respect for that, to do it, but also to be an adult and do it, you know, and make sure you get up at that time and do it. Or if it's still sitting on the table, you know that in the evening time, whatever time it is prepare for that time, for that specific time. So prepare your day for the time that you're going to be reading the Bible and not let anything else interrupt that. So this conversation that we're having today inspires me to be even more diligent and making sure that that becomes even more of a priority, or to start a priority, however you want to say it, to make sure that gets done. And I think within the church, through leading by example and then encouragement and the telling folks, you know, there's nothing more when you've called me, you know, I was reading the other day, and this is what God's word has expressed to me and what I learned. And then I go, Craig, I'm going through that. And then you go, and I can't remember, you said something like, well, isn't that something? Well, maybe I was just supposed to be in that just for this appointed time, you know? So God had prepared you to give me words of encouragement. And this is what we should do with other folks. It stirs the heart. Go ahead.
And you know, you said it stirs the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because Bible study, Bible reading, Bible study should never be a chore.
Amen.
It should be something you look forward to.
Yep.
It's like, what am I going to learn today? Or, you know, what nugget am I going to be able to, you know, pick out of that today? Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that, because quite honestly, I believe that reading your Bible can be an exciting thing.
Sure.
It can be. And so we should approach it from the standpoint of, what am I going to get from it today? What am I going to learn today? What am I, you know, it should never be a chore. Like, oh man, I still got to read my Bible. Okay, well, I can sit down for 10 minutes, you know.
Yeah, there's no glorification of the body with that.
Right.
Because you'll open up, I'm done, I've got it.
Exactly. So, what have you been studying lately or reading lately?
It has been a while, and I'm being honest with you. Since spring has hit, I've been in 1 Peter for a while, and I think I expressed something to you a while back, so I'm not going to even try to pinpoint it. But before the spring hit, to where things get started at daybreak, my wife was always, she really encouraged me. She would get up and she had her 15 or 20 minutes quiet time in God's Word before she went to work, and I was doing the same. So the carving of the time out needs to be, I'm not going to, just because I don't have to be at work at 4 or 5 in the morning, I don't have to be at work till 7, I need to get back into the time of getting up a little bit earlier when my body clock wakes me up and have my Bible sitting down on the table. So when I go down there to prepare for the day, be back into it. And it where I started, I would be fibbing if I told you that it was this book or that book, and that's how where I have dropped the ball. I can't remember, but I spoke to my pastor about it, And I go, hey, I was just reading this, and it is exactly what is going on right now with my life and how things are going in this world. They coincided. And his encouragement words was, well, that's great. You should keep going. And he didn't say, all right, now you better stay in there because there's more coming. Never been like that. And I think with you, Craig, it's never been like that either. Well, so what is it teaching you? Or did you know that? And there's nothing wrong with asking that question to a believer that's been a Christian for a long time. Did you know that? You're not trying to bait anybody. You're just going, well, did you know that? Well, no, but this is how I inquired this. Because there's so much in there. There's a ton.
It's amazing because I look back and, you know, I got saved in 1997. So it's going to be 25 years. As a matter of fact, next month in May, I'll be 25 years since I accepted Christ. And I really feel that what I know about the Bible is like less than 1% of what's in there.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. I mean, because I feel like, you know, some days you can wake up and you can think about something. You say, well, I'm going to look that up in the Bible. And you know exactly where to go to find it. And, you know, you get feeling all proud of yourself because yeah. I really know my Bible. You know, ask me where that is in the Bible. I'll tell you where. You feel like you're proud of yourself. But, you know, in reality, most of the time I feel like there is just so much in there
sure.
that I don't know.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
But that doesn't make us feel downtrodden
no.
or anything. We're going,
that's encouraging.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. The words when we first started the program this morning, we were talking about it has everything in there that you need. It's an instruction manual. My father-in-law, and this is no joke, my father-in-law, in any piece of power equipment or electrical equipment or whatever, a tool of whatever that he has ever bought, and this is no joke, he has the manual to it. He doesn't throw any of that away. So I asked him one time, and this was many, many years into our relationship as I him and his daughter, who's my wife. She told me about that. So I asked him. He goes, no matter how long I've used it, if something goes wrong with it, everything that I need to know about that and how to get it fixed is in that manual. He said, so why would I throw it away? I go, well, you've used it for X amount of years. He says, that doesn't make a bit of difference. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but this is what he's telling me.
Right.
It's the same with God's Word.
Absolutely.
No matter how old I am and the things that you and I have experienced in our life, there's things that we realize why, and there's things, what in the world? You know, look in the manual, and it'll tell you how to fix it and probably why it happened. Things usually go wrong with a product if it was built right because it was misused.
That's right.
So you and I misuse our life.
Or we don't. We do lack of maintenance.
We're either
using the thing wrong. We're using the weed whacker wrong, trying to cut tree branches, or we're not doing the maintenance all along the way. Every year you're supposed to do the maintenance. It's the same thing with life. You're not doing the maintenance.
Yeah,
you're not using it the right way.
A car that has that's brand new will break down. Then you've got somebody that has a car that's 30 or 40 years old and it runs like a top. You must have got a good one off the assembly line. Nope. Keyword, assembly line. I took care of it. I did what I was supposed to do when the manual told me to do it.
You know, it's kind of funny. We were talking about my son's truck because I drove I drove my son's truck to the radio station this morning. Now, that one is not we bought it at auction. And we were talking about it's got over 300,000 miles on it. And that one was not an ODOT one, but our other trucks, and we have two other trucks that we bought from the ODOT auction.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those have over 300,000 miles. And both of those that are ODOT trucks that have over 300,000 miles are gas engines. They're not diesel. They're gas engines. But the reason why we buy the ODOT trucks at auction is because ODOT is a stickler for maintenance. Mm-hmm. They perform all the regular maintenance and do the repairs. So, you know, most of the time, you can be pretty assured that you're going to get a truck that was well maintained.
Amen. Yep.
And so, and it's no different than in life, you know. Do the maintenance. Do the maintenance. It'll pay off.
Do you know anyone that is up there in years that their body really shows the wear and tear of life? And that they struggle getting around, they struggle sitting down or standing up or walking, you know, or just everyday functions. It is a struggle. But their attitude hasn't changed. It's still alive for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they are still excited when they see somebody get saved. Or one of their family members, and not just a friend, but one of their family members who they've been praying for so many years, finally turned around. Now, the outside of the shell isn't as functional as it was at one time, but they maintained their faith, which maintained their joy, which maintained their happiness, which maintained their evangelistic lifestyle. And what are they out preaching? No, they're just living the life that God has given them and showing joy and contentment, which makes people go, you know, there is something to that God thing, because I've seen all the physical struggles and aches and pains that they have that would detour somebody else to just go into a state of depression. But they're happy every day. They say, I'm just glad God woke me up this morning.
Yeah, and you know, something else along that lines, everybody has struggles in life.
Amen.
I've had struggles, you've had struggles.
Yes, sir.
And you know, it's easy to, when life's going good and things are smooth sailing, to not even be concerned about.
Yep.
And you know, and sometimes when things are going good, you don't even think about the other person. You know, when things are going good for you, you have a tendency to not think sometimes about the other person. But everybody goes through struggles.
Yes.
It may, for one person, it may be marital. For somebody else, it may be a family member with a disease. It may be themselves with a disease. It may be the death of something close, of somebody close. It may be a foreclosure. It may be a bankruptcy. It may be loss of a job. Everybody goes through struggles. Mm-hmm. Yet, if you are doing the maintenance, reading your Bible, it's there for those times. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, and I don't want to say that the Bible's there for the tough times only, because it's not there for the tough times. But it's there for the good times and the tough times. And if you're in regular reading, doing regular maintenance,
yep,
it's going to be there when you need it.
Mm-hmm. People want answers about everything. And usually they'll go to somebody that they know that could be truthful with them. Because even though that we don't like the truth, we want to hear the truth. We really do. Because it's the foundation of getting things corrected.
Right.
Nobody likes to be lied to. But there are some folks that like to have the truth stretched a little bit so there's no conviction on the heart. And that was me at one time. Go ahead and tell me what I think I want to hear, but I want to make sure things are all right, but kind of candy coat it for me so it's not, so it doesn't sting as much. I would go, listen, God's word is stings. God's word corrects, but God's word is the salve on the open wound. But God's word is the foundation of what is truly right and what the truth about what our life is all about. One thing that I use all the time, I said, you really want to know what your life is all about? You'll find it in the scripture. Well, I've read it and I can't find anything, but did you ever read where it says your main function is to be a follower of Jesus Christ? That's it. Then what comes after that? Be discipled so you can learn what it means to be a follower of Christ. And then as you mature in that, your next responsibility is to be a discipler. Everything else is icing on the cake. And what I mean by that is that God has added to you. God's added your family to you. Right. He's added your job to you. He's added your responsibilities to you. But all those things that he gave to you, he wants to make sure that you implement your your wonderful faith into all those things that he's given you to bring people to the saving grace of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And then when somebody says, well, I don't know where that's at, or I don't believe it, and then with our right attitude, well, if you got a minute, can I show you? Or would you give me the opportunity to show you in God's Word where that's at? Because that's not Barry or Craig talking. That's God's Word talking. That here, if you don't believe me, believe in somebody who created this world, because there's His Word.
Amen. Amen. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left. Any closing thoughts?
Hopefully I didn't over talk.
No way.
I get too excited when I get a chance to talk about conversation for the friend about how good God truly is.
And you know what, Barry? I mean, that's what I love about you. Like you just said, I get excited when I get to talk about God.
Amen.
Yeah. That's the way we should live. We should be excited when we get to talk about the Bible, when we get to talk about God, when we get to talk about the good things Jesus has done for
Amen.
Us. So, all right. Thank you. Barry, I want to thank you for being here this morning. It's always a pleasure.
Pleasure's all mine. Trust me, brother.
We'll do it again.
I will be here.
All right. Folks, if you want to hear this again, or you want to hear any of the past episodes, you can go to the station's website, which is www.gh1071.com, and click on the archive page and go to Study His Word Radio, and the listing of all my previous shows are there. To contact us, I would love to hear from you with Bible questions, with prayer requests, with comments. You can write to us at Study His Word Radio, 6190 State Route 19. That's in Mount Gilead, Ohio, 43338. Or you can email us at Study His Word Ministries at yahoo.com. Or you can contact us through our website, which is studyhiswordradio.org. So again, thank you for joining in this morning, and feel free to comment. I'll be on this Wednesday night, 5 o'clock, live at 5. It's the show with no name. I'll be back here next Sunday. We're going to do some question and answer. A recording that I had made, but I'm going to answer two or three Bible questions, and I'm probably going to do a small study on some other topic. I'm thinking about it. I've got a small study I can do on speaking in tongues. So I will see you next Sunday. Have a good week. Enjoy this weather. They're saying tomorrow's going to be wet, but I wouldn't worry about that. Get out today and enjoy the weather. Thanks, folks, for being here. I'll see you next week.
You're listening to WWGH Radio.